cherish life must unite in finding, exposing, and removing these killers and extremists. And yes, losers. They are losers. Wherever they exist in our societies, we must drive them out and never, ever let them back in.
Where will the extra $8 billion for the NHS come from?
What we have done over the last six, seven years, and what we will do in future is ensure that we have the strong economy, the growing economy, that enables us to generate the funds to put into our public services. I've identified in the manifesto some specific areas where we will change the way in which money is being used, and I've just referenced.
But that's not extra money, that's moving the money around. Yes.
Another victory for artificial intelligence over the human brain. The grand champion of one of China's most ancient and iconic board games, throwing a towel on Thursday in a man versus machine grudge match against an AI system powered by Google. He's now the second champion to bow to AlphaGo's supremacy after the Korean number one was defeated in 4 out of 5 games by the program last year.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Friday. It is May 26, 2017, 5:10 in the morning. It's good to have you along for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day, our final one of the week before the long Memorial Day weekend. Later in the program, we'll talk a little bit about holiday travel with Rick Cini of FareCompare.com. Are there any more last-minute deals, perhaps, for the long weekend? Where are the cheap fares moving forward as summer vacation season begins? We'll check in with Paul Nolte shortly here as well. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, Dow futures are pointing toward opening losses on Wall Street, off about 22 points right now. NASDAQ and S&P futures are lower as well. Oil's trading up about 0.5% this morning. World markets generally mixed in Asia. The Nikkei lower, the Hang Seng, Shanghai, everything else seems to be higher there. And in Europe, markets are generally lower this morning, except for the FTSE. The DAX is off almost 0.5%. The CAC is almost a full percent off this morning, 44 points. Back in this country, gold and silver futures are higher. Again, oil at $49.15 a barrel. Some news that you may have missed before you went to bed last night. The economy, Japan's core consumer price index, climbed to a two-year high in April. Its cost for energy rose. Economists said the increase reported today not likely to persist, and that prices for imported consumer goods actually fell in that country. A federal judge has ordered delivery giant UPS to pay New York City and that state, New York State, $247 million in damages and penalties for illegally shipping cigarettes. Attorney General Jeff Sessions says the Justice Department will ask the U.S. Supreme Court to review an appeals court ruling that blocked President Trump's travel ban. The Fourth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals yesterday ruled 10-3 against the travel ban, the decision barring administration from suspending new visas for visitors from Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, and Yemen. Sessions says the Justice Department strongly disagrees with the Fourth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, again, reviewing that, taking it all the way now to the U.S. Supreme Court. Everything is bigger in Texas, including population booms. Figures released yesterday by the U.S. Census Bureau show that 4 out of the 5 fastest-growing large cities in the U.S. during the 12 months leading up to last July 1st were in Texas, including some of its sprawling suburban areas. Conroe, a Houston suburb, was the fastest-growing, increasing by about 8%. During that span. And California health officials say a botulism outbreak linked to nacho cheese sauce appears limited to an open bag of the sauce. The statement yesterday comes as the Department of Public Health found no traces of the toxin in the another unopened bag that was seized from a fuel station in Walnut Grove, a suburb of San Francisco. The toxin can cause paralysis, breathing difficulty. There were concerns that possibly this might be something based there that was spreading across the country. The Wisconsin-based company Gel Foods that does this says they have not seen any other concerns about this possible botulism outbreak spreading to other parts of the country. Well, we saw the Fed minutes this week. They're looking more and more like we'll see a live meeting at the June meeting of the Federal Open Market Committee with the rate increase on the table there. Let's bring in Paul Nolte of Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. He's a senior portfolio manager there. Paul, it looks like we might see a rate increase in June. What do you think? Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to be with you again, Steve. I think we will see the rate hike in June. It's guesstimated now at about an 85 to 90% chance that we're going to go in June. What's interesting, though, is when you peel back some of the rhetoric and you jump into some of the notes, it looks as though they are preparing to reduce their balance sheet maybe a little bit sooner than a lot of people thought. So we may see a bigger announcement about how they're going to go about reducing their balance sheet in the upcoming meetings, getting ready for getting that process started maybe in December.
And the other part of two that we saw from the minutes is that they might ease some of the other stimulus that they have in place. What is that? What will that generally mean?
It generally means that interest rates should start to rise. We're seeing it on the short end of the yield curve. So all of the maturities a year or less, those rates have gone up fairly dramatically. I mean, a year ago, year and a half ago, we were less than 10 basis points or 5 basis points. We're now up above 0.75% on those rates. What's interesting, though, is the long bond, the rates that are 20 years on out, have actually come down. Mortgage rates have come down over the last couple months or so. And what we're left with now is a flatter yield curve. And what that is telling the markets, or what the markets are telling the Fed, is we really don't believe the economy is growing fast enough to warrant further rate hikes. So there's going to be a debate, I think, within the markets over the next 6 months or so as to how much further the Fed can really go.
Yeah, and we keep hearing this phrase that the weakness we saw in the first quarter was transitory, but there are still real concerns about whether or not we get to the target GDP this year, aren't there?
There are. The estimates now for the second quarter are still somewhere north of 2%, which is good. Certainly coming off the weak first quarter. And we've seen this historically over the last 4 years or so. The first quarter has been very weak. It's been the weakest quarter out of the four. And then we see the strength pick up. But when you take a look at it on a year-over-year basis, we're still only growing at about 2% a year. And that's, I think, where we're going to be stuck for quite some time.
All right, Paul. Hang on with us. We're going to take a break here. Paul Nolte is the Senior Vice President, Senior Portfolio Manager at Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. He's with us every Friday. Coming up, we'll talk a little bit about our own portfolios and some other economic news.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Stocks climbed for the sixth day in a row Thursday on strong first quarter earnings results. The S&P 500 rose 10.5 points. The Dow gained 70 to 21,082. The NASDAQ Composite beat the record set last week, rising 42 points to 6205. Apple stock has been rising all year, and shares of the company are now collectively worth more than $800 billion, up about 32% for the year. Amazon and Google are not far behind, with share prices up 28 and 21% respectively. General Motors denies that its full-size diesel pickup trucks cheat on emissions tests. A lawsuit filed in U.S. District Court alleges that GM trucks have three devices on them that allow more pollution on the road than during treadmill tests in the EPA laboratory. And a federal judge has ordered delivery giant UPS to pay New York City and the state nearly $247 million in damages and penalties. The company had been accused of illegally shipping untaxed cigarettes. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It's 522. We're on this morning with Paul Nolte of Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. Paul, back one other question while we are on the subject of the Federal Reserve. And it's a question you brought up yesterday via email with me. What if the Fed is wrong with all of this economic growth stuff and things don't improve? What kind of situation are we going to be in then?
You're going to be on a long-term hold, I think, with interest rates, and the implication is going to be we're going to see long bonds come down further. We'll probably see the dollar weaken further, and it's kind of an unknown, I think, with the equity markets. The equity markets have gone up on very cheap money, and the thought that cheap money can hang around for a while, providing investors with little choice as far as where to go with their money to earn a return, I think actually could boost the stock market, as odd as that sounds. We've had a decent rally already this year, but that actually could fuel stock prices even further, which you wouldn't think be the case. With weaker economic growth, you would normally see weaker earnings, and you should see a market come down. But actually, it could be good for the equity markets.
And what does this mean specifically for our individual portfolios? Should we be looking at them any differently in that light?
I think it's something worth keeping an eye on. The Fed has been the key driver for the markets really since the bottom in 2009, and their monetary policy, the very easy monetary policy that they have, has fueled stock prices and is behind it. So depending on how they unwind their balance sheet, how aggressive they are in raising interest rates will have a determining impact on stock prices over the long term.
We had another week of earnings this week. Anything jump off the page and surprise you?
Not too much, but actually, in taking a look at the market returns for this year, we're back to the FANG stocks. So you've got Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Google has really dominated the S&P 500. So when you look at kind of going back to how does your portfolio doing, if we look at the S&P 500, which is up just shy of 8% this year, if you back out those top five holdings as far as market cap goes, and they referred to that in the last break, the market actually is only up about 4.5%. So again, being out of those top names, when you look at your portfolio and say, geez, I'm not doing so well versus the S&P 500, it's really been driven by the big names, and it continues to be the case today. So again, and a lot of those are not all that expensive here. Apple is selling at about 17, 18 times earning, which is actually very cheap for a company that's growing as fast as they are. So we still like the technology sector, and I think that's a key component here for the markets going forward.
Yeah, do you think there's a deal to be had with Amazon stock at $993 a share, or maybe Google at $969 a share?
Well, it's odd, and you can throw Berkshire Hathaway in at whatever, 36,000,
right.
360,000. It's not so much the price per share, it's the underlying earnings and cash flow growth. And those companies are growing their cash flow and earnings, top line growth as well, their overall revenue, at very high rates. So as long as that continues, and this is very different than the dot-com area of the late 90s, when companies were going up on no revenues. So we still like that sector as long as those continue to be in place. And certainly as we look at the technological changes within the U.S. economy, a lot of these companies are right there in the middle of, in the thick of that activity.
Paul, it seems so that Wall Street's just ignoring all of the drama in Washington. Is that the case, or is it just going so strongly right now that nothing can impact it?
There will be something that will impact the market. We're not quite sure what that's going to be. But when you look at politics, and a lot of people have talked about the impeachment and what that could do to the markets, and we go back to Nixon when he was impeached, the markets fell apart. But we were already in a recession. We were suffering from very high inflation rates. And then you go back to Clinton when he was under impeachment process. The markets backed off a little bit. But they ultimately went higher because the underlying economy was still very strong. So politics plays a role on a day-to-day basis, but over the longer term, when we start taking a look at should we be in the market or not, politics, the answer to the question is not, well, it depends on what happens to Donald Trump. That only impacts the markets over the very, very short term, but over the long term, it still depends on economic growth, earnings, of companies around the world as far as how well we're going to do.
Well, here we are, summertime, Paul. You have big plans for the Memorial Day weekend?
It's going to be a quiet weekend around here. I'm getting rid of my last of my children. They're all going back for their summer internships and jobs, and then we're back to a very quiet summer in the Nolte household.
All right. Well, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again next week.
You do likewise. We'll see you then.
All right, Paul Nolte of Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. You can check them out at kingsview.com.
From ABC News, Tech Trends. Should drone makers be liable for damage or injury if they crash? By the year 2021, we could see as many as 3.5 million hobby drones flying in American skies. But
the FAA here in the U.S. ruled that people with just hobby-level consumer drones don't need to register them with the agency anymore.
In gadgets, Dana Woolman says in general, businesses are in favor of less regulation. But that's not true in the case of drone maker DJI.
DJI is sort of taking matters into their own hands and saying, okay, well, if you don't register the drone with us, the company, can't fly the drone as far and you can't take advantage of as many features as you would if you were on our radar.
The company argues that drone registration encouraged education and training among users, meaning fewer accidents and potential lawsuits. And Woolman says it's also come down to reputation.
DJI doesn't want their name associated with people who cause careless, avoidable accidents.
With Tech Trends, I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
WGN Radio's Daily Conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program, 538. Glad to have you here. This is the start of the busy travel season, Memorial Day weekend. Rick Cini, the founder and CEO of FareCompare.com, is with us from Dallas this morning, as he is every Friday. Rick, this is a very busy weekend for people heading out of town. We'll talk a little bit about deals coming up. But first, what should people know if they are headed to the airports? Have TSA got their act together? Will there be big delays?
Yeah, there were weather issues. There were a variety of things. And we know flights are completely full today. So just be aware the night before. Make sure you check in early. Make sure you have flight status alert so you can check in on with what you have there as well. And just having good quality information is really the best part of flying today, because you just need to know what's going on. It's terrible being at the airport and not knowing what's going on.
The other part of this, too, is TSA. They say they've added more manpower to security checkpoints. What should people know about TSA, especially if they haven't traveled in recent months?
Yeah, no, it's gotten a lot better. We had a huge issue late last spring, out even in the Chicago area. I think they've solved all those issues. But generally, when you have these crush days like a memorial where there's a huge pack of people actually coming in, and typically that happens early in the morning and late in the evening in different cases, you can have some longer lines there. There are an app you could go out there. The website has the wait times, for example. But really, the last year, everything's been averaging under 10 minutes out of Chicago, so you should be in pretty good shape. But look, you should always go just a little bit early on these super busy days.
And what should people know about packing, too? It seems like we remind people about all this stuff, but it's important to know what you have going into these checkpoints.
Yeah, you can really slow down a checkpoint if you, for example, carry any water product. There's a 3.4-ounce rule. Gels, liquids, a lot of those things get removed. If you're in a TSA pre-check, remember that you don't have to take your shoes off and a variety of other things. That slows down things as well. Just generally, being a good neighbor as far as security is concerned actually helps people through. They actually measure the amount of people they can go through per minute in these particular things, and that rate has not gone down very much in the last 2 or 3 years.
And I still see people tweeting about some of these seemingly overly aggressive TSA pat downs. If you got family members going with you, be aware of that too, right?
Yeah, look, these enhanced pat-downs are not something that you want to get into. So in many cases, you can opt for that. A lot of people do opt for that for the first time. They only do it once. I know my wife said she didn't want to go through the body scanner for a couple different reasons, and she said, I'm going through the body scanner from now on. That's why we actually end up getting TSA pre-check and global entry, to make sure that we could only go through a metal detector.
Is it too late for people who are thinking about getting away this weekend to find a deal, or even for early summer?
If you're shopping right now, your best bet is to look at package deals. Package deals already have pre-done airfare that was a little more expensive if you had shopped early, but less. So look at for air, hotel, car, or air and car, for example, is your best bet if you're going to leave at the last minute. There are still some deals out there you can buy at the very last minute. But if you're looking for weekend deals, for example, in mid-June, where you go and what days you go are very very important. The cheapest days to fly are Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday. So over a weekend, that would be Saturday to Tuesday is your best itinerary. And I was looking at different itineraries sort of in different places leaving Chicago that weekend in mid-June, which is a lot of people still looking to do. You can get to places like Washington, D.C. for $140 round trip. Miami gets in the $250 range. You can get out to the Northwest Coast, Seattle, for $200 round trip. So there's a wide range between 30% and 40% in some of these destinations. So shopping matters, signing up for alerts, for example, picking a different airports also can help you as well.
And I know you've come up with some strategies, six of them, as a matter of fact, to help find some last-minute getaways. You talked about a couple there. The day that you look for the price of these deals also matters, doesn't it?
No, absolutely. Yeah. So when you're shopping, just generally sales occur on very, very late Monday evening. All the other airlines see the other airlines are having a sale. They match Tuesday morning. Tuesday afternoon is a great time to shop for particular deals. We mentioned the cheapest days to fly, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday. I would also note, too, that there's a huge gap on some routes between nonstops and connecting flights. Sometime anywhere close to 30% to 40% is difference. I know one of my friends just was visiting me over the week, and I said, why are you taking a connecting flight back to New York? He said, because it was $400 cheaper at the last minute than another flight. So also, you can one of the things that you should always do if you can on these weekend trips is travel light. Certainly checking a bag's going to cost you $50, but if you travel light as well, it's going to help you get through the airport more quickly. It's going to help you get through security. Just travel as light as possible.
Have you been able to experience some of these premium economy seats yet on the airlines?
Yeah, no, I try to get them as much as I can. You know, I'm 6'1", so having an extra 6 inches of leg room is extremely important. If you're 6'1" and you have the seats like they're about to put in some of the new aircraft, which haven't rolled out yet, pretty much they're in your lap.
Yeah, you probably become more comfortable out on the wing, right?
In some cases, yeah. Yes.
Go ahead, Rick.
No. I was just saying it's a little bit windy out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, here we are again. There's been another terrorist attack in the UK. What should flyers who are possibly going to the UK this summer in the next couple of weeks know about this?
Yeah, so, you know, airlines haven't said what they'll do. I know a lot of people have been asking. I haven't heard from the airlines yet today whether or not they can change their plans or they have they're waived change fees, for example. So we'll see. They have done that in the past in some cases, especially to certain destinations. So we'll have to see what happens with that. The State Department did put out a warning several weeks ago, and essentially it's the same information they've been giving for many, many years since we've had these issues, and that's keep your head on a swivel, stay away from large crowds if you can. In general, staying with the locals. Typically, the biggest issue that you're going to have if you're traveling is pickpockets and a variety of other issues. Travel in pairs and just be aware of your surroundings. I know it's difficult to do. You're having fun on a vacation, and, you know, essentially it just makes sense just generally to be aware of your surroundings.
All right. Rick, happy travels.
Hey, thanks.
Rick Sini is the founder and CEO of FairCompare.com in Dallas. Check him out at FairCompare.com. And you can follow Rick on Twitter at Rick Sini and FairCompare at FairCompare. We talk with Rick every Friday here on The Opening Bell at this time.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program at 5:49 on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. Dow futures are looking for a negative open on Wall Street later this morning, off about 18 points, and NASDAQ futures are off about 2.5 points. S&P futures right there with them. Crude oil is at $49.11 this morning, 43%, almost a half a percent higher. Gold and silver are also trading a little bit higher this morning. Globally, markets generally lower in Europe, generally mixed in Asia. As we head into a long three-day weekend, markets are closed again on Monday for the holiday season. This is Memorial Day weekend for many Americans. It marks the beginning of summer vacation season. But this holiday really is about sacrifice, not barbecues and road trips. Memorial Day for remembering all of the people who died while serving this country's armed forces, Nearly 1.4 million Americans have died in service to this country. Aaron Katursky's ABC News national correspondent. He will anchor a special broadcast called America Remembers over the weekend. Has been compiling stories of widows, mothers, families
others trying to cope with the loss of someone who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our country. Aaron's with us live from New York this morning. Aaron, these are some compelling, poignant stories, are they not?
Oh, they're incredible. When you hear from one woman who has now been a widow longer than she has been a wife, she's marking 10 years since her husband was killed when his Humvee was blown up by an IED in Iraq. This woman named Shallon Webb lives in New Jersey. She's from California. And she was telling me that one of the most painful things that she has witnessed is the erosion of the gains in the Iraq war, and how her fight now has turned to her husband's legacy as people look at what's happened in Iraq and said, you know, what a waste. And she insists that her husband died doing a job that he loved with people that he truly loved. And we also talked to a woman whose husband committed suicide after his service in the Navy. He was involved in an accident, a submarine accident, in the Persian Gulf, ended up with a concussion and a diagnosis of PTSD, and became one of an increasing number of American service members to commit suicide after their service is over. And that's been a striking part of what groups that deal with these families and try to help them cope have been seeing as combat deaths have ebbed in Iraq and Afghanistan. The what soldiers and sailors and others are dealing with still lingers.
Each one of these stories is really the chapter that makes the book that is America. What do these families want all of us to remember as we're out and about doing what we do on Memorial Day weekend?
You know, I think a pause for a thought is really about all. No one is saying that you need to sit and dwell in their pain, and their pain is still very real. This woman I was telling you about, her name is Megan Clevenger. She is originally from upstate New York. I met her in South Carolina. And her husband committed suicide 5 years ago. She found him on the lawn. And she had watched this downward struggle. The man that she knew and loved and married, after his concussion and diagnosis with PTSD, just went into this downward spiral that really took a toll on her and her daughter. And so she continues to cope with that. And she's not looking for anyone's pity necessarily, but I think she said more of an understanding that, you know, these are the consequences and something to just be mindful of on Memorial Day.
What more can all the rest of us do? What more can the country do really to help some of these families?
Well, there are a number of organizations that try to help widows in particular cope. That's the one thing that I'm struck by. As we remember the sacrifice of those who, you know, paid with their lives the cost of upholding the nation's ideals of freedom and liberty, there are so many relatives that are left behind, you know, wives and daughters in particular. There's a group that I came across called TAPS, Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors. This was founded by a woman whose husband was killed in an Army helicopter accident and has been helping tens of thousands of widows and kids of service members who have died. Each Memorial Day, they host in different parts of the country they call it a good grief camp for these kids to make them realize, many of whom never really knew their dads, that their legacy includes service to the country.
It's interesting that you said the one woman who would like us all to just have a thought. It's not something that should, because every year we have, you know, the discussion of whether or not we really do enough on Memorial Day weekend, whether it's more about the barbecues or remembering. But it's these stories really say, hey, do whatever you do on this weekend, be an American and just remember.
You know, it's a really interesting point because, you know, there is a way, I think, to go too far to, you know, to say it can't just be, you know, barbecues. But in many ways, these people died so that you can have a barbecue. And so that you in some ways it's almost appropriate. But I think there is a recognition on Memorial Day that the burdens of upholding what the nation stands for are really borne by a very small percentage of the population. And so I think there's always a, you know, I don't want to say it's, you know, any animosity, but I think there's just a bit of recognition that, you know, people are suffering and coping with intense loss and pain, that may be worth a thought or two as, you know, as we get set to kick off summer or whatever other, you know, normal activity the rest of us get to go through.
All right. Aaron, thank you for compiling these stories. Thanks for being with us on The Opening Bell.
Thanks very much for having me.
All right, Aaron Katursky of ABC News. Again, their program this weekend called America Remembers. By the way, if you want to do more than a barbecue and want to take part in one of these big Memorial Day commemorations, Abraham Lincoln National Cemetery, 50 miles southwest of Chicago, on the 29th, we'll have it's a national ceremony. It's a national cemetery. The Memorial Day service starts at 11:30 there on the 29th at the flagpole at Abraham Lincoln National Cemetery. Of course, many communities, including Chicago, will have all kinds of observances at veterans' monuments and at cemeteries throughout the weekend. Now on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Friday, May 26th, the Commerce Department releases its April report on durable goods. It'll also release first quarter gross domestic product. That report is the second of three estimates of how the U.S. economy performed in the January to March quarter.